Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Bert Breer in for Zoe today. David Andrews set to join us. David Andrews brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And there he is, David Andrews, Patriot Center, with us now. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. How are we?
Doing okay. Bert Breer is in for Zoe today, and Bert is a big college football guy, so he wants to talk some college football with you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, first of all, I want to ask what you think about Georgia being number five.
Oh, that feels negative, Bert.
No, it's not. My school's number six.
That feels like a shot.
My school's number six, not a shot.
Yeah, it feels like
I honestly want your opinion on it, David.
I mean, I think they're one of the best four teams in college football, but yeah, I get the rating system. So I mean, you know, it is what it is, but I think they're one of the best four teams in football.
I also want your thought on the fake punt.
Honestly, I didn't really watch it. We had a meeting during the time, so I didn't even really get to watch it. But I don't know. I think I had more faith in our defense than that.
Okay. Well, that's pretty. There you go.
Oh, what an answer. David, let's talk about this week. You got the Dolphins, and this has been a challenge division game on the road in years past. Why do you think that is, and what are you preparing for as a challenging aspect of it this week?
Yeah, you know, they're a really good home football team. You know, it's kind of interesting when you look at the stats on the away games and home games or some. And, you know, it's just a challenging place to play. They play really good there. It's tough, physical. You know, it's a tough environment. So it'll be a big challenge this week, and like it always is.
Is the climate a challenge? Like, we always hear about going down there in December and the fact that it can be hot and humid. And you're obviously coming to a place that – and you walk outside, and we know it's not that. Is that a challenge for a player going into that environment, playing in that environment in December?
I mean, I wouldn't say that's, you know, the issues that we've had down there. I mean, last year we played on Monday night, so it was a cool, nice night. It still had some of the same issues. So I don't think that's really that big of a factor.
If we could just for a moment go back to Sunday's win over the Vikings, I know you're trying to move on from that. You're trying to, you know, move on to the next opponent, but that had to have felt like a pretty good win, no?
Yeah, you know, it was a good team win. We did a lot of things good. We were able to run the ball, stay ahead and down a distance for the most part. You know, started fast. So, you know, did a lot of things we wanted to do. And there's obviously a lot we can work on.
Did something click in the second half? I mean, it just felt like, I don't know, and this is just from the outside looking in, but it felt like you guys found a rhythm. The ball going to, and I know you're not a skill player, but the ball going to Gordon, kind of, it seemed like within the context of the offense. Did something click in the second half for you guys?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, we just knew, you know, that was a good defense, and we had to just keep going out there, keep making plays, be patient, you know, not try to make it all in one play. And, you know, we were able to do and get in a rhythm there. And, you know, so that's exactly how we wanted to play, and we did a good job.
Talking with Patriots center David Andrews as the Patriots get ready to take on the Miami Dolphins. Have you at all started to sort of look at where your team slots in the AFC and some of the competition and how there's so much up for grabs in this final month?
You know, not really focused on that. You know, I mean, the biggest thing that we can do to help ourselves is, you know, go out there each week and play our best football. So that's really what we're focused on right now. You know, especially going to Miami this week, that's going to be a huge challenge. So that's really all our attention is on right now.
I want to ask you, because this is sort of a big picture question, but it's about one of your teammates. You know, the left tackle spot's been one of the most stable on the roster over the last 17, 18 years, with it going from Matt Light then to Nate Solder, and obviously his big question mark coming into this year. How important has it been, like, having a guy like Trent Brown and like, just from the inside, you know, like, how being able to fill that hole with a player like that, how important has it been to how you guys have been able to play?
Yeah, you know, Trent's done a great job for us. You know, he's come in, worked hard. You know, so he's a huge man. He does a good job out there. And, you know, anytime you get all five guys working together, a lot of good things can happen.
Yeah, do you guys, as you say, all five guys working together, do you feel that as your group goes, the offensive line is how the offense is going to go, that you guys sort of lead the way on this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything starts up front. You know, it's all about physicality and, you know, getting the run game going. And, you know, you do that, it helps you out a lot in the pass game play action. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's always going to start up front.
You know, the two guys that you play next to in Tooney and Shaq Mason, they've had really good years. In fact, Shaq Mason is now rated as the highest guard in the league in terms of his performance this year. Does that give you sort of extra confidence knowing that you've got guys that really know what they're doing playing next to you?
Yeah, it's great having those guys around. You know, they do a great job in there. And, it's been great, you know, getting to gel and mesh with them, you know, over the last 3 years. You know, so anytime you got guys around you like that, they make you look a lot better than you are.
How, like, we always hear that, like, how it's almost more important with the offensive lineman than it is anywhere else on the field. Like having that amount of, like, experience with the two guys who are playing right next to you, like how important is that for you?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely nice. It's, you know, those guys know what to do, know how to do it. And, you know, anytime you got guys like that around you, you know, it gives you a lot of confidence and, you know, makes you feel real comfortable.
All right, David Andrews, Patriot Center. Appreciate your time. Good luck against Miami.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right, take care. David Andrews joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand after Bill Belichick spoke a few minutes ago. Bert Breer is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
I give myself like a C- on that interview.
Why
I,
is that?
I thought I came out of the gate strong with the Georgia questions, and then I just was like too mealy-mouthed on the Patriot questions, so I apologize.
Answer, how about his answer, though?
Oh, it was so good.
I didn't really get a chance to see it, but
I have more deep confidence in our defense than that. We're going to tweet that out and see if it goes viral down south.
That's a great answer.
That might, that might catch some attention.
What
down
does he
south.
Care? Kirby Smart wasn't his coach.
No, right. I know.
It's
I
not
know.
Like he owes anybody anything there.
Yep.
Bert Breer is with us, and he is brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, where free means free. Free online banking and debit card, no minimum balance, and no monthly fee. Visit rfcu.com today to find a location near you. It's a great answer.
Oh, it's a fantastic
really
answer.
Get
yeah.
A chance to see that, but I would have had more faith in my defense.
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right then. 617-779-0985. Josh McDaniels, we're going to get to that topic. We've talked about Trey Flowers, we've talked about Urban Meyer, that is. Adam is in Lowell. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. I love these high-profile college coaches who be like, I can't go to the NFL because of blank. Whatever reason they give, I always fill in the blank as, I can't go to the NFL. How can I threaten my 19- and 20-year-old players with pulling scholarships or blackballing them to another program? Like, it's just ridiculous. I hate these high-profile coaches. Especially best example is when Saban a couple years ago lost a national championship game. It was Amari Cooper's, I think, last year there. He said, oh, it's hard to win when you got your guys concentrate more on the draft. It's like, oh, sorry, guy. They're not also making $10 million a year, you scumbag. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you can't use that word, Adam. Don't use that word.
That's the one that always slips me. That's a tough one to remember.
Yeah, it's a word we can't use. I get what he's saying, though. You know, all this, it's tough. It's, what a comment. It's tough to win with guys focused on the draft. First of all, you have no proof that that's what's actually going on. Second of all, yeah, it must be real hard to get all that free labor for all the years that these guys play for you. It must be really difficult for you to use all the free labor while you're making tens of millions of dollars. Yeah, the attitude of some of them and how they just balk at the idea that these guys would get anything outside of the scholarship money that they get, you know, so that they could afford to go buy like a sandwich.
Yep.
It's just how disgusted they are. Same thing in college hoops. Ask Mike Krzyzewski about guys getting anything more than what it is to get the educational dollars. Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. 931-0985. You'll score a $50 Dairy Queen gift card, DQ, fan food, not fast food. We're giving that away now. We were sort of backed up on that due to Bill Belichick. Now's your chance to win on the contest line. Caller 10, 617-931-0985. We'll get to Josh McDaniels and the latest thoughts on that after the action update, which is brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, the only places in New England you can legally bet on sports. Powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com.
Now a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's action update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Blink motion-activated security cameras are now on sale with huge savings. Visit blinkprotect.com/holiday. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
There's just one game left before the FBS postseason gets rolling in college football. Army has attracted more than two-thirds of the action as a seven-point favorite against Navy on Saturday in Philadelphia. Offshore betting on the Heisman Trophy has swung decidedly toward Oklahoma's Kyler Murray. One site lists him at minus 190. Former favorite Tua Tagovailoa of Alabama is plus 150. Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins, 60-1. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is Murphy going to allow Josh McDaniels to come in and run the Patriot way? Is he going to allow him to come in and establish exactly what he wants up there? And does Gutekunst understand what that is? There's a lot of moving pieces here. And the trigger here is that the guy that's hiring you isn't the guy you're working side by side with.
That is Mike Lombardi, former member of the Patriots front office and also someone that has a pretty good knowledge of Josh McDaniels and how he works and how he may function. He said this on the Ringer's GM Street podcast. It's not all he said. Talked more about the potential fit for Josh McDaniels with the Packers.
We thought there may be some sort of effect there where teams may not want to bring him in and do the interviews and offer him a job, knowing that, you know, there is a chance that he would back out last minute like what he did with Indianapolis. Is there no, there's no holdover from that at all with him getting interviews with any of these teams? No one really cares about that?
I think there's going to be some holdover. I think you got to be concerned that will he actually leave? You know, I think that there's probably, I'm sure Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, is probably saying, look, you know, I gave you this huge raise. I don't expect you to take the first job. I didn't pay you this huge raise for 1 year. You know, so I think that conversation is going to take place. I mean, Kraft's not usually giving away money just because he likes to give away money. So I think there's more to this. There's a lot of moving parts. Plus, how do you know he's really going to come? How do you know, unless you get him signed to a contract, he's really going to take the job? Green Bay is not for everybody. I mean, it's up there and it's the frozen tundra. You know, he's got four young kids. Could they live up there? I know it's the Midwest, but it's the it's up in the Midwest, you know? And so it's not exactly Boston and all that. So I think there's a lot of moving pieces.
Again, Mike Lombardi about the possibility of him going to Green Bay. Do you think McDaniels is a fit there?
I think he can be. I think it's weird because I feel like he may be a better fit for them than they are for him, if that makes sense. Like, he's a good fit for them because they can sell him to the quarterback. And look, part of the issue with the quarterback was there was disagreement on scheme. There was disagreement on play calling. There was friction because Rodgers had autonomy to change plays, and he'd get in there and it would upset the flow of play calling for Mike McCarthy or for a time Tom Clements. And so I think that you, like, for the Packers, you look at Josh McDaniels and you're like, yeah, here's a guy that we can sell to the quarterback. Here's a guy that we can say to Aaron Rodgers, this guy worked with Tom Brady. Like, so you should probably listen to him. This guy got the most out of Tom Brady, so you should probably listen to him. So he's sellable to the quarterback, and I think that part of it's important Because I think it's the same thing as Brady. Not everyone can coach Aaron Rodgers. And I think that'd be the difficult in replacing. That'd be the tough part about replacing Josh McDaniels here, is it'd be hard to find somebody to coach Brady. So the flip side of it, like what kind of fit are the Packers for Josh? All right. You have a quarterback who's actively going to push back. You have a quarterback who's going to want to know why. Like, it's not going to be just tell me what to do and I'll do it. You have a quarterback that's very much, I mean, I guess maybe technically by age, he's not a millennial, but he's millennial-like, you know? And he's a little bit of a diva. And like,
there's that's just, for you to say that he whines a lot.
There's just, no, but there's this like I need to know why I'm doing this. And I think Brady to some degree is that way too, right? Like Brady's not going to just blindly have faith in something you're telling him and saying that this is the right thing to do. He's going to not want to know why too. The other piece of this is, yes, that there would need to be some structural changes, because I will tell you this, like I think him coming back here was more about the Colts than it was about the Patriots. And I don't think I honestly don't think it was primarily Luck's health. I don't think it was primarily ownership. I think as much as anything else, like guys who come out of this place have an idea of the way they want things set up. And so that means I want my strength coach. I want my trainers. I want the video department to work a certain way. It doesn't even necessarily, I know everybody thinks it's control of the roster. I don't think it's just that. I think there's so many structural things that go into setting up an operation. So that would be the question. The Packers have done things one way for such a long time. I would say you can probably look all the way back to Mike Holmgren being there. And everything's sort of been an outgrowth of that, where everyone's sort of come from that coaching family. From Ray Rhodes to Mike Sherman to Mike McCarthy, everybody had like connections back to like that Bill Walsh coaching tree.
Yeah.
And Josh McDaniels is coming from somewhere else. And so the question then for Josh is going to be, A, will this work with the quarterback? And B, will they let me set up a structure the way I want to set it up? Because that was a problem in Indy. And that's something no one talks about. But Chris Ballard's a very good general manager.
Does everyone know that? That was going to be an issue for him there?
Structure was going to be an issue.
They were going to decide what it was going to be, and
There were issues like, well, no, I just tell you this, like Chris Ballard, right, who's proven himself to be a very good general manager. Like they're 6-6 right now after starting the season 1-5, and it looks like he's putting stars on the roster. Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard, all those guys. Like a legitimate like offensive rookie of the year candidate and defensive rookie of the year candidate in the same class. The thing about Ballard is like Josh that way, and that's where I think the friction would have been. And I think both guys, to their credit, saw that in the end, is that Ballard had a strength coach in mind. Ballard had a structure of the way the building should look. Ballard had seen like a strong GM model, and like, okay, like this is the way I want this set up. This is the way I want that set up. Video department, the scouting, like this is how I want all this structure.
And that's not how Josh envisioned
it.
And
it wasn't quite the same, because Josh is coming from a very head coach heavy place. And that was so I think it's not so much like everybody needs to stop focusing on like Josh wanting to make the third round pick. I don't think that it's going to be that. I think it's going to be something that's a lot less sexy than that. I think it's going to be, I've got a guy in mind to be the strength coach. Let me bring him. I want to set up our schedule this way. Let me do it. Like it's, I think having the play structured a certain way and where he's comfortable to run it that way.
So you're telling me that last year, Josh McDaniels did not say no to the Colts and return to the Patriots. It had nothing to do with the Patriots.
I think it had something to do with the Patriots.
All right, put a percentage on it. Divvy it up.
60-40.
That sounds like a lot. That to me says a lot of the Patriots stuff factored in.
Here's what I'll tell you. I think that Robert Kraft sensed wavering and struck. That's what I think happened. Okay? I said this to you guys back in February. Robert Kraft looked out onto that field at Super Bowl 52. He saw a 66-year-old head coach, a 41-year-old quarterback, and remember what he loathed when he first got to New England, right? What did he loathe about Bill Parcells?
I mean, everything.
No, but like what in particular was the problem? The problem with Parcells at the beginning was that he would disappear for 3 weeks to Jupiter, Florida, not the planet, Jupiter, Florida.
Right.
And like he would make his decision whether or not he was going to come back.
Oh yeah, every year,
right?
Every year, he said you never know about his future. How can you have a guy making decisions on the future? He told us this in Kraftwerk,
and it drove Robert Kraft up the wall,
and it made sense when you say, "How can you have a guy deciding on the team what should happen personnel wise if he doesn't even know he'll be here next year?"
So take that into account.
Okay.
And then he looks out on the field and everything that they went through last year, all the friction and everything else between the coach and the quarterback. And he's looking out on the field and he's seeing, that coach is going to be 66. That quarterback's going to be 41. I think motivated Robert to kind of like how can I create some stability here? How can I find a way to at least put some younger people, empower some younger people where, you know, maybe eventually like we wind up drawing a path out of this era and into the next era. And so I think that motivated Robert when there was a sense that there might be some vulnerability there.
Great, but it may not have worked. If McDaniels leaves and goes and takes another head coaching job, none of it worked. It was good. I'm glad he attempted it, but there was nothing in that makes McDaniels stay here.
Let's say you're Josh right now. What's a better situation, New England or Cleveland?
Based on what you're describing. I thought you were going to say Packers or Cleveland.
We can't. Well, okay. Well, take the three then. Take the three.
What's the better? I mean, it's a better situation is to go somewhere where you know you have your quarterback for the next decade, a place where you know that you're going to be in control and allowed to set things up the way you want to. I don't think he'd have that issue here. Doesn't sound like he'd have that issue in Cleveland.
Right.
Sounds like they would be willing to adapt to him. It does not sound like he's going to have that sort of say in Green Bay,
he might like that, but I think that's the question Lombardi's asking.
He doesn't have to be the guy after the guy in Cleveland. You start out 6-6 in Cleveland, you're a hero,
right?
5-3, hero.
Yep.
You know, you
have time to build it.
You have time because you will buy yourself time by being just even mediocre,
right?
By just being a team that hovers around 500.
What happens if you're 10-6 here?
10-6 here? What happened? What's wrong? Why did you only win 10 games? How did you lose 6 games?
Now,
in Cleveland, you lose 6 games, they're willing to put up a bronze statue of you outside the stadium right now.
And
how desperate they are to win.
And I think we talked about this last week. Here's the other thing. Like, how do we talk about the other 31 coaches here?
Like, they're all idiots.
Like, they're a bunch of gym teachers.
Yes.
Right? Like that's how we talk about them. Do you know why we talk about them that way?
Because we've become accustomed to watching Bill Belichick and a Bill Belichick-led staff coach games for two decades.
It's tight, and we don't see clock management issues, and we don't see penalties, and we don't see dumb extracurricular stuff. And what happens if it's not? You know how hard it is to get it like that? Like, I think we all look at this and it's like, oh, that's the easiest thing. It's not easy to get things that way. You know, it's not easy to have a program that runs like that. And that's something I think that whoever's going to be the next coach has to be cognizant of too, is like, what if it takes a couple of years for me to get my program set? Like, then, like, everyone's going to, like, there's going to be all of this outside pressure. Like, why are they offsides 5 times in this game? And why'd they mess up the clock? Like, it's just, the bar here is so much higher. Like, it's almost like, would you have a chance? And you guys remember what happened with Pete Carroll, right? Like, Pete Carroll's not a bad coach. Pete Carroll's one of two coaches one of the two coaches in the history of the sport, right? I think Jimmy Johnson's the other one to both win a Super Bowl and win a national championship in major college football, right? Like, there are only two people who've ever done that, and Pete Carroll's one of them. And Pete Carroll was victim to that when he came here, when he was here. Because, like, everything that, like anytime any player did anything that, like, looked like halfway out of bounds, everybody was like, well, Parcells wouldn't have let that happen, right? So do you want to put yourself in that environment? That's tough. That's tough. And the flip side of it is that you've got very strong ownership.
Yeah.
You've got very strong ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you get to work with Nick Caserio if you're Josh, and that'd be a huge plus. So there's not like, it's not like it's all negative.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We haven't had a lot of success down there, and, you know, you know, this is a big challenge for us. I didn't do nearly well enough in my role and my job last year when we went down there to Miami. So, there's a lot for us to look at and a great defense for us to go down there and face where they play extremely well at home. And, all the other stuff is just, you know, it is what it is, and don't really pay too much attention to it. You know, love what we do here and in terms of working hard to try to come up with the best plan for our players each week. And that's where my focus is going to remain.
Gosh, just quickly, but your future goal hasn't changed though. You still want to, be a head coach again someday.
If that's in the cards for me, then that's great. I've said that before, and but again, I'm not worried about that right now.
Nowhere in there did he say no. First question was being asked about the current rumors and reports, and he answered with talk of Miami and this weekend, sort of diverted.
Yep.
And then
I didn't realize they've lost four or five there.
It's been a weird place.
That, like, I knew, like, I was about to say, like, have, oh yeah, haha, they've had trouble there, and I figured that meant they were like, you know, like 5-2 over their last seven, and that would be great for most teams to be have that record on the road against a division opponent. But no, they're 1-4.
That's why I don't get why Zoe yesterday was so dismissive of this game. He just thinks they're gonna go down there and roll, like, ah, it's Miami, they suck, and I think every time I'm like, well, they haven't been a great team really at any point, and the Patriots have issues there. They struggle at Miami.
Yep.
I don't know what it is. If it's the weather, if it's the heat, if it's the change in temperature, I guess it's all those things.
And they're usually not, for the most part, they haven't been flat out bad. They've been like really mediocre over the last 5 or 6 years, right? Like, since Tannehill got there, they made the playoffs the 1 year in Gase's first year, and they've been mediocre but not horrific, and so capable of coming up and popping you.
They lost there in 13. They lost there in 14. They lost there in 16.
No, 15 and 17.
What did I say?
You said 16. They won in 16. They won.
Oh, I thought they lost.
What I have in front of me says 13.
Oh, maybe I have it backwards.
13, 14, 15, and 17 they
okay,
lost.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it.
And you know what's crazy? Is
what?
Half of those are by double digits.
15 was the 2015 was the Steven Jackson game.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was like the Steven. It's like almost hilarious that he was on the team and that they were like trying to like they were trying to build.
Well, they were desperate is what they were.
They were trying to build a run game around Steven Jackson in 2015.
That's Bert cracking himself up.
I don't know if that's going to make it to Belichick's Canton speeches. The Steven Jackson run offense of 2015.
The 2015 attempt to try and make.
It's just such an outlier, you know, like the idea that like that sounds like something like a dumb team would do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but no, they actually tried it here.
20-10, the final in that game. Patriots did not have a good day. It's given them issues down there. It has. It's just been a weird place for whatever that reason may be. They've tried. I think they've tried leaving early in the past.
Yeah.
And we were talking about a little bit off the air and how you go early and all of a sudden you get guys who are like, well, we're here. Why don't we go out? You know, yeah. Hey, we're in South Beach. Why don't we go out somewhere?
I do.
And they're like, ah, this is a bad idea. We're not going to do this. Like, we're not coming early anymore.
I do a show with Bart Scott every week, and we were talking about the Patriots Dolphins game yesterday when I was down in New York.
Yeah.
And his phrase was, South Beach is undefeated.
Players love it there.
Yeah.
Why and, wouldn't they?
Like, his whole thing was, like, and it's been all year when he talks about any team going to Miami, South Beach is undefeated.
Like, yeah, especially him. Guys, like those Rex Ryan teams going down there. Can you imagine the kind of trouble they'd get into?
Guys get down there. I don't know. There may be some creative ways to get out of your hotel room, you know, like maybe pass curfew a little bit.
Fire escapes. Throwing yourself off the balcony.
Hey, who are those three huge guys like scaling the wall?
All right, so is there anything the Patriots can do to keep Josh McDaniels in New England beyond this year? More than what they've already done, which is give him more money and sort of maybe give him an indication that he's their next guy.
Here's what's interesting about this whole thing to me and why I think, like, for someone like Josh or even a Brian Flores, you may have to take one if you're offered one this year, is I don't think there's – it was definitely worse last year. Okay, like the situation here in the building, I think, was definitely worse last year. But I think there's less certainty about when Bill's going to leave than there was a year ago. Like, I get the sense, and this is just reading tea leaves, and like it feels to me like Bill could coach another 5 years, and I don't think there was a sense of that last year. So I think for Josh, part of this is, well, if I wait, like, what am I going to do? Am I going to wait 5 years? Like, if Brady has a bad year next year, am I still in the same place on the list? Am I going to have my choice of places? I think he's probably come to grips with the fact there's not going to be a perfect job out there. Like, guys who wait for the perfect job wind up passing up on a lot of good jobs, right? And so I don't know how you get past that. Like, if there's still unless Bill is whispering to Josh, I'm gone in a year, and there's still all this uncertainty there, I don't know what you can do, Beal. You've already paid him. You've given him a 5-year deal, which is much longer than most assistants work on 2-year deals. Okay. So you've done what you need to do contractually. You know, I think he's comfortable with ownership. I think he's comfortable with the environment here. I don't know what else you can do. If the guy wants to be a head coach and Bill's not telling him I'm going to be gone in a year or two, then it's going to be really hard if he's offered a job that's a good one. And I think the jobs in Cleveland and Green Bay are good ones. It's going to be hard to keep convincing him to say no.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks. Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Six 617-779-0985. Before I tell you what Robert Kraft said yesterday about the possibility of McDaniels going somewhere else, Denny's in Mansfield with a question for Burke Breer. What's up, Denny?
What's happening, Denny?
Hey, boys, what's up?
Hey.
How you doing, Middle?
Good.
Fresh diaper, fresh powder, got your rattle, your bottle, feeling good?
Yep, great, thanks. His question was Urban Meyer. Does Urban Meyer go to the NFL, which you've said you don't think so. But Urban Meyer said it himself. Urban Meyer saying in a story with Pete Thamel, Yahoo Sports, that he couldn't handle the losing.
Yep.
That comes with being in the NFL. The quote from Robert Kraft yesterday, and it came at a charity event that was going on, the team's children's holiday party, which happened at the Putnam Club at Gillette Stadium.
It's the Rap a Patriot event, right?
What's that?
The Rap a Patriot event?
Is that what it is? Yeah. Says, how does this from the Patriots notebook in the Herald? How does Patriots owner Robert Kraft feel about having his offensive coordinator at the top of the list, especially after opening up the purse strings and making him the highest paid coordinator just to keep him last year? Quote, I care about winning Sunday. That's really what I care about. I think that's really what I care about is what they said. There's extra what was added in here in the story. Kraft told the Herald, stopping for a moment last night at the team's party, whatever happens, you know, we have good people. I'm actually flattered that people are after our people.
Which is a good diplomatic answer.
Very much so.
Yep.
But it's sort of like, oh, it's flattering, and whatever happens, we'll be able to take care of it, which is, I mean, I believe that.
Yeah.
But I also don't think that they'd be pleased if he were to leave.
Yeah, I think there would probably be... Do you think there'd be hard feelings?
Maybe somewhat. He gave him a considerable raise and paid him a lot of money and said, well, no, don't do that. Stay with us. I want to give you a lot more money, and I want you to stay here.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's just hard because there's only 32 of those jobs. And say it's Cleveland, okay? Let's just say for the sake of argument, it's Cleveland. His parents live there. He's from there. He's got 4 kids who are growing up, have a chance to get them around some of their family before, you know, they get to the age where they're out of the house. There's a quarterback there. The owner has a relationship with Bill Belichick, which gives you, like, the connection there. Like, Jimmy Haslam actually lived down the street from Bill Belichick in Nantucket for a lot of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So those guys know each other.
That's part of the reason why Lombardi ended up in Cleveland.
Oh, this is good info.
So he would have the blessing, so to speak.
Yeah. So I think, like, I think it's just hard if you're the owner. Like, I don't think he'd like it, but it's hard to tell a guy, like, all right, like, you've got a chance. And look, like, I'm sort of the same generation as Josh. So a lot of my friends are from that generation of Cleveland who they grew up rooting for Bernie Kosar. Then they saw the team leave. It means so much there. It means, I mean, football, like, that place isn't like here. Like, it was nice for them to see the Cavs win. They like the Indians. But if the Browns ever won there, like, guy like Josh McDaniels knows what that would mean to his home region. And to be the guy to do it, on top of the fact that, like, you've got family there, like, you've got, like the structure's not so bad. It's like a quarterback. It's like, it's really
it's
hard.
Like Theo putting together the team that won the World Series.
Right. So, it's like, if you're Robert Kraft, you're going to look at, God, that sucks. Just gave him all this money. But, I mean, go. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's the way, like, I think you'd have to be like if it's that he's going for. Now, Green Bay might be a little different. But if it's Cleveland, like, I think you'd have to look at it if you're Robert and you're like,
okay. But as you said, if he was watching the Super Bowl last year and saw a old quarterback, old head coach, lack of stability, lack of a long-term,
well, year to
know,
year. No,
it's
not
future.
Even, like, it's just year to, like, your year to year. Like, the whole thing was at least at that point, it seemed like the whole thing was a year to year proposition.
Well, it's still the same. Nothing has changed since then. Nothing has changed since February.
Yeah, I mean, I think the relationship problems have thawed, so that helps. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's still year to year.
Yeah, just because of, you know, where they're at in their careers.
Right.
If Josh McDaniels leaves, don't you lose whatever stability you thought you might be able to gain with him? It's gone.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You're into uncharted territory. You have no idea where this thing is going.
You have no idea.
You are flying blind.
You don't know who your next head coach is going to be.
You have no idea.
Yeah. Unless, I mean, like, and I look, Brian Flores is very well thought of. I think he's going to get more interviews this year, like, in large part because my understanding is he finished second for the Arizona job last year. So I think Brian Flores is going to be in the mix. Could he be the next head coach here? Maybe. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's been an assumption for a long time that, like, the logical successor to Bill would be Josh, and that would be off the board.
Let's go to Will, who's in Tewksbury. Will.
Hey, Bert. What's going on, Beetle? How are you?
Hey.
What's up?
I think the biggest problem is going to be, I think we'd be able to swallow this a little bit easier if there was some sort of a succession plan for who the next Josh McDaniels would be. You know, all the talk about going to Cleveland or wherever the place he's going to go for the next drop for him. I think that the conversation sways a little bit more if you know that the next person coming in to take over the OC job here is someone that you have the same level of confidence in as we do with Josh.
And I think they were concerned about that, too. That's a good point, because I think they were concerned, like, do we have somebody who can coach Brady?
So they didn't feel like Chad O'Shea was the guy?
I thought forever it was going to be him. I'm not convinced of that anymore.
Oh.
I'm not convinced of that anymore. Like, I thought for a while, I'm just telling you, like, I've had a couple people tell me, like, it may not be the receivers coach. And so, like, the problem is like whoever that is, you need that guy to coach Brady, right? Like, that's that guy's job. And it may sound simple. It's very difficult. Like, how do you give Brady new information? How do you challenge Brady? Like, how advanced do you have to be as a coach to do that? Right?
You've got to have some... I don't know. You've got to have some sort of, like, experience. You've got to have some sort of resume.
Mm-hmm.
McDaniels has that with him.
So
they've, like, grown up together.
Or do they promote someone like Chad O'Shea and then backstop it with another coach? Like, remember when Pioli left here after 08, what did they do? Well, they elevated Nick, but they also brought in Floyd Reese, if you remember, to sort of backstop it. And then eventually Floyd Reese was gone and Nick was in charge. But would they do something like that? Like, would they promote someone like Chad O'Shea and then add another coach? Like, would they bring Charlie Weiss back? Would they bring someone who has experience with Brady back to sort of help whoever it
is? As, like, an assistant head coach?
Something like that.
Title?
Yeah.
Someone who's just sort of overseeing a lot of different things?
Well, because, like, look, like, I'll go back to, you know, the first text that Bill O'Brien got from Brady. And this was in 09, right after Josh went to Denver. Like, he got a text from Brady right when it happened that said, I want to be coached. Like, Brady wants to be coached. Brady wants to be challenged. But that's easier said than done. Like, it's not easy right now. Like, Brady said it himself. I've got all the answers to the test. How do you challenge him? Like, the guys who've coached these guys, like, Josh would tell you this. I think the guys who coached, I mean, I think Adam Gase would absolutely tell you this about coaching Peyton Manning. It's like there's a certain level of anxiety and stress in coaching these guys because every week you've got to find something to challenge him with. You've got to give him some new piece of information. You've got to be useful to him. And that's really hard to do. So I think that's a challenge. If you lose Josh, who is capable, who on earth is capable of coaching Tom Brady? Does Belichick get more involved on offense? But it's just, there's a lot.
Oh, there. That won't be good for things. I don't think that's the way you want to go. Patrick is in D.C. Patrick.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just had a thought, too, because I know, like, everybody's been saying, like, Daniels, like, getting a lot of coaching offers, but I just feel like if he goes to Cleveland, he's going to have so much leeway, too, just because of how bad that franchise is. And I feel like working with Mayfield, like, he's not going to feel, like, the pressure of having to, like, live up to kind of coaching Rodgers and, like, with everyone saying, like, how Rodgers has been, like, off guard, like, the past couple of years because of McCarthy, I feel like Cleveland would just be a better fit if he were to leave.
Yeah, and I think there's a fair point to be made there in that, well, the difference between the two is you either go to Green Bay and you've got, like, such high-end potential for the next 4 or 5 years, right? Like, if you hit it right, like, you could win multiple Super Bowls there because you've got one of the greatest – I'm not saying one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but one of the most talented players ever to play the position. And then you've got a 5-year runway to find the next one. If you go to Cleveland, you've got the guy for the next 15 years. So which would you rather have? Like, you don't know if Baker Mayfield's ever going to get to where Aaron Rodgers is, but you only have Aaron Rodgers for a limited amount of time. And then beyond that, it's sort of up to you to find the next one. It's tough when you weigh one versus the other.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.